Why, Paul Goody.
Oh, hey Ben, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
Oh, good. Good. It's going great.
I just watched a video on the internet. One mic. It's a GIF. So a video without audio, and
Yes.
it was of a person jumping off of a roof, and the point of this person jumping off of the roof was to jump into the adjacent swimming pool. You can probably guess where this is going. Now, I don't want to say alcohol was involved, but I'm pretty sure something compelled this person to climb up onto the roof of a house and jump, and missed the pool by a good 2 feet. And
Ooh.
so they landed on the concrete, and the reason I bring this up is because when I saw the person land on the concrete, A of all, I immediately backspaced out of there, like I was
Yeah.
going to prevent it from happening. But also, like I felt it. I felt that pain. Now, not as much as this person who probably just broke both their ankles felt it, but like when I
Oh,
saw them,
yeah.
when I saw them land, I had this reaction in my feet, and I like, where does that come from?
You know, I've brought this up before. Whenever I find out that someone is sick or has been sick,
Yeah.
I feel it in the backs of my legs. I get this weird, like, tingly ache kind of thing.
And that's an interesting place to feel empathetic pain.
It has been suggested that perhaps it is my muscles, like, tensing to run away.
Right. Yeah.
Like, but society keeps me from completely doing it.
You want a flight, but society tells you to fight.
Exactly.
Ah, damn it. Yeah, what's going on?
So you and I have talked about, okay, so I think you might be able to figure out how this goes exactly, but I've stopped looking at Twitter, as we
Still,
know.
you're still not on Twitter.
Yes, still not on Twitter.
Cool.
Feeling really good about it.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, though, I have been looking at Reddit,
Okay.
which I had never seen before, but I find it strangely compelling. And here's the thing, is that unlike Twitter, Reddit is all on a specific topic.
Well, it's it,
Pretty
you know to
much.
yeah, it's
Well, it should be.
subdivided into specific
Yeah.
topics.
Well, that's what I mean. Sorry. The discussions that you're reading are all on a specific topic.
Yeah.
So the chances of the outside world bleeding into my information stream is a lot less.
Oh, just wait.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean,
I mean,
it's not
granted.
a closed ecosystem.
Yeah, it's what I've been watching, what I've been reading here is Twin Peaks stuff.
Right.
And I mean, occasionally I do get someone on the thread that I'm reading. And one of the good things I think is I'm not participating, I'm just reading,
Yeah.
which really probably helps. But occasionally you'll get someone that's like, it's all about Twin Peaks. Occasionally you'll get someone, the thing I'm reading, not Reddit, for people who think that I think that Reddit is all about Twin Peaks. I can understand how you might gun to the, but no. So someone might come in going, "Oh yeah, David Lynch is such a genius. Give me a break!" Exclamation point. Oh, I can kind of skip over that.
Yeah.
That's
Well,
not a
I
big deal.
mean,
But there's
you can also, I mean, there are other ways to participate in the conversation without writing comments, right? You can log in, create a profile, and downvote those comments so they don't appear as high up for people reading the thread about Twin Peaks.
Ah, I get that. So that's why someone said, "Why was this downvoted? It's actually a pretty good idea," and
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
it's audience participation.
Okay.
But it, you
It's
know, it,
almost like a dis this it's nice. They've come up with a way to make a dislike button that actually
right.
isn't all bad, sort of, I guess.
Yeah, I am. But you know, it's when I said it's not a closed ecosystem, I would not be surprised to see somebody on a Twin Peaks comment thread, talk about, you know, find some way to relate the episode to the fact that, you know, Ted Cruz's Twitter account was caught liking a porn video.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And let me ask you, was that a news thing that you just did to me?
Yeah, that just happened. That happened yesterday morning, I think.
I love the fact that I don't know these things. I can't tell you how exciting it is to me. The world is like, again, we've talked about this, things that we haven't seen. I haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
And the reason, and we've gone over this earlier, but the reason is that way, if ever I'm forced to watch it, it will actually be interesting to me. I'll be like, oh.
Yeah. I enjoy consuming the media. One of the things I like doing is when I eat my lunch, I go to YouTube and I look at the highlight clips from the late night talk shows. Like, because I don't actually watch TV, but I will watch, Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, Samantha Bee, for the most part. Those are the big three.
Yeah.
I do watch John Oliver, like, on HBO when it comes out, so I don't watch the pirated clips that people put on YouTube from his show. But yeah, so it's hard to avoid like the big news stories like that. And you know, I don't know if I would want to. I wouldn't want to take it as far as you have. There was one thing that I did see on Twitter, and it was in regards to Ted Cruz's Twitter account liking a porn video. And I keep saying Ted Cruz's Twitter account and not Ted Cruz because, you know, staffers have access to all those things.
Who knows?
Also, you know, it's possible that if it was Ted Cruz, it just fat-fingered it while he was on the toilet or something. But somebody...
Yeah, he fat-fingered it while he was on the... hey, hold on.
Somebody tweeted, and I don't remember the name.
Children listen to this, Ben.
I don't remember the name of the Twitter account, but they said that Ted Cruz liking a porn video on Twitter is the most human and normal thing Ted Cruz has ever done.
Yeah, that's... Why am I so persecuted? that was for Jennifer Pratt, my wife, who listens to this podcast, from what we can tell. How else, I ask you, would she be able to give us corrections? Which anyone can do, but no one else does. Which is fine by me. I am happy that Jennifer does corrections. And we'll get to those corrections a little bit later in the podcast.
Yeah, just loading it up now to see if she sent any for last week.
Oh, yeah, she totally did.
She did, all right.
She didn't tell me what they were, but she told me that she did.
No, she better not.
News on that front. Well, actually, here, let me just find out something really quick.
Are you looking something up, Paul? Are you betraying?
No, I'm not looking something up. I'm actually just looking for my... Hello, Jennifer. Do you think we will have Water Station 12 up by Monday?
I think by Monday.
Okay. And that is a cryptic phrase that someone will find out about later.
I'm guessing
that that's
your podcast.
No, that's not the podcast.
No?
Or is it? We'll see. We'll see. I'm just
and why did you,
everything about
if you didn't want to talk about it, why did you go and ask Jennifer about it on the show?
Or yeah, sure, just throw that thing up.
Oh yeah, throw it up there. Okay, yeah. By the time this comes out, and if not put in the show notes, Paul is a liar. But by the time this comes out, we will have what I would call a pilot. But not a pilot as in like a fully thing. It's just a clip. It's just a clip that we're trying this stuff out.
Okay.
We signed up for Podbean.
Podbean, yeah.
And it's the name of it. The name of the podcast is Maladaptive. And what it is, it's a fictional anthology series. It's an anthology series that does not exist. Only in the... No, it's serialized fiction. And the first thing that's going to be up is Water Station 12, which is just two people in a spaceship talking to each other.
Ah.
And it's not... If it's not like... You know, these are going to be as long... as they need to be. Water Station 12 is kind of...
You're not limiting yourself to any given time.
That's right. And things will go up when they're ready.
So
you're
how long are you planning on these? They can be 10 minutes. They can be 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. It's all up in the air. And so, yeah, the Water Station 12 one will be shorter. I want to say it's under 10 minutes, I want to say.
So one
and
can...
It really is just us trying to you know, work out, well, what does this sound like? You know, that sort of thing. I mean, it's done. It was a thing that we did.
Yeah, so...
And I didn't know if we were going to post it or not.
So look for...
But it looks like we
look
are.
Look for Water Station 12 on Podbean. Beginning Monday.
Maladaptive.podbean.com.
Maladaptive.podbean.com.
Yep.
All right.
So yeah. And we got plans.
I don't know a lot about plans. Podbean. Does it supply an RSS feed for iTunes?
It does.
Sorry.
In fact, here's
Apple
what
Podcasts.
I can tell you about Podbean.
Yeah.
Now it is a pay thing. I have chosen the unlimited audio option.
Okay.
Unlimited uploads, downloads, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It grows as you grow and all that. We probably could have gotten away with a smaller amount, but I like to not have restrictions. I would rather pay a little bit more up front than get a big surprise.
Right.
Later on,
and how much?
Sort of thing.
How much is the unlimited Podbean version?
Well, this is a little inside baseball, but I will let you know. It is about $10 a month.
Okay,
a little bit less than that.
$9.95.
And yeah. And you can pay for it annually, which I decided to do,
right?
Because otherwise, it's about $15 a month.
Ah, but, you know, pay the one lump sum and forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. What did I do? What's this charge on my card? Who are you people? Yeah. But, yeah, so it's really, I mean, and it's a testament to Jennifer's genius. Having an anthology series means that we can do, you know, basically... Anything that, you know, how I do. Hey, I've got an idea. Why don't we make a movie about blah, blah, blah? Instead of making a movie about blah, 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 we can actually record the thing. I'm going to be using... We have a microphone that's hooked up to the computer. But the problem is that we aren't in an actual studio. And so the sound is kind of weird. We have a room that's kind of... off to the side that's filled with clothing that we're going to record
just
in
like
using this recorder.
2 or 3 feet of clothes on the floor?
No. It's a small, like, it's sort of a closet, but it's also kind of a
pantry.
I don't know. It's a weird, like,
water
maybe
station.
At one point in time it was a... like a wardrobe,
like a mudroom,
or a mudroom. Not really a mudroom because it's not in the right spot for that. But yeah, you get the idea. Maybe a sewing room. Maybe it's just a very. It's too small to be a bedroom.
Yeah.
Too large to be a closet. It's got a window in it. But yeah, so that's the idea is that this weekend I'm going to clean that out and we're going to, you know, record in there, which will hopefully get some of the bounciness off of things.
Yeah, well, you know, you could always go to Amazon or something like that and buy one of those foam pieces to hang to like the egg cartons to hang on your walls.
Yeah, and or moving blankets. That was the other idea.
Yeah, that'll work.
I'm I mean, we could have done it in the room where the computer is right now, but the problem is, and, you know, this is more me having lived through something. I don't want to hang anything from the ceiling in a place that I am renting.
You have a bad memory about that? Did you get...
Yeah,
did you get...
when I lived in Ballard, one of my roommates was like, hey, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put my clothes on this wooden pole that I'm going to hang from the ceiling on these chains. And so, you know, they put the chains up in the ceiling and all that. And then one day there was this crashing noise and... The stuff that was being hung from the ceiling, and it wasn't a lot of stuff. Just pulled down a bunch of stuff because it wasn't in the rafters. It was still on the ceiling, and I cannot feel good about doing that. We're told not to. Oh wait, Betty hears an ice cream truck, and I hear an ice cream truck.
Is it ice cream time?
Betty, here.
I got a dollar.
Oh, okay. Here.
I can also have this.
All right. Hey, give me back some of that money later. No. She just grabbed... I had some money that I was handing her. Here, you can hear it.
I did hear it a little bit when the door opened. Yeah, I can hear some of it.
So, I am... Hey, how's it going?
Are you walking out to
buying...
the...
Yeah, I'm thinking, because I want to see how much it is. Oh, no, I promised that I wouldn't eat anything, because I kind of want something.
You can always just buy something and then stick it in the freezer.
Yeah. Betty, what are you getting? What are you thinking?
I would like a Choco Taco, please.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, that's good. All right. So nothing for me. Betty is getting a Choco Taco.
Do you recognize the song that the ice cream truck is playing?
Yeah, it's Turkey in the Straw.
Because I put this question out a couple years ago because I heard an ice cream truck flying down the streets of Capitol Hill. And the song the ice cream trucks played when I was growing up in my neighborhood was The Entertainer from the movie, whatever movie that was with Paul Newman.
I almost don't want to say it, and I believe it's Turkey and Straw, but here's the thing. There is a, and I can't even, Ben, I can't even bring myself to say what it is. You're just going to have to look it up whenever the podcast is over. There is an offensive song to the tune of Turkey and the Straw that... Oh, that song that the ice cream trucks play. That some people swear up and down makes ice cream trucks racist. And that's all I can say.
I don't remember it being connected specifically to Turkey in the Straw, but I do remember some sort of small outburst about that. And I think this was also this came out of my question that I put on social media. What did the ice cream trucks play in your neighborhood? And everybody had a different answer. I always thought ice cream trucks just had a single, you know, Muzak, Jack in the Box kind of song they played. But it's different all over the country. And apparently some are racist.
Now, here's the thing, though. I will say this. Listeners will probably be able to hear that song. It may not be Turkey in the Straw. I know for a fact that it was Turkey in the Straw when I lived in White Center.
Yeah.
Or near White Center. I lived in actually a section called Highland Park. This is back near Seattle. Or in Seattle, actually. Highland Park is in Seattle. White Center, not Seattle, which is why you can buy fireworks there. And this sounds like it, but there are some things that are different.
Well, maybe they need to get past the copyright.
It almost sounds like Do Your Ears Hang Low a little bit, but I think it might be Turkey and Straw, or it could be the aforementioned offensive song.
Whichever one that is.
Which I don't know. But if you know, dear listener, please let us know what song it was. And Ben, what's that email address they can send?
Email address is bensemail@yahoo.com. Email us and let us know what song ice cream trucks play that some people find racist.
Or if you do find it, don't send it to us. But rather tell us what you think the song that was being played was. Well, unless it is, I just don't want people sending you the N-word, Ben.
Well,
that's not the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's a hard.
Don't send Ben the N-word in the email. Don't do it. Can I just say that, Ben? Can there be a blanket rule?
Yeah, I would hate to see what kind of advertisements Google wants to send me when it scans that email if somebody does that.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Just think about how what the ads horrible racists get. It's like a whole different world. I mean, I buy one like cutesy whatever toy thing for Betty when she's six, and I'm still getting stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like,
I get,
you might like these sparkles. Well, maybe I do.
Amazon likes to send me advertisements for things that I've already bought on Amazon.
Oh, speaking about Amazon, now that is something that that I can say I knew about. This is you know, the little segment we've got, like, what has Paula actually gleaned from the world?
What has Paul actually gleaned from the world?
Amazon was thinking about opening another headquarters in St. Louis, and apparently they're souring to the deal now. They don't necessarily want to do it.
Was it St. Louis? I heard that they were looking for another headquarters in North America, but they hadn't settled on a destination yet.
Right, they hadn't. St. Louis thought that maybe they would be, and I learned all of this today, by the way.
Yeah.
St. Louis thought that maybe they would, and then I saw an opinion piece that somebody wrote that said that looks like St. Louis hasn't got the goods or something like that. Like
they're probably not as generous as Seattle when it comes to giving Amazon tax breaks. But
When I say we, I'm not part of St. Louis. I'm near St. Louis. That is something that I may have brought up in this podcast before. Everyone on the Illinois side of the river has a great affinity for St. Louis and has their allegiance to, like, sports teams and stuff like that in St. Louis rather than in Chicago.
Right.
Many of them.
Well, it's closer.
It's closer, and that way you can go to a home game there. Also, some people work there and just live in Illinois.
Right. It's probably cheaper to live across the river in small town America than it is in the big city. But that's where the high paying jobs are.
Or in fact, some places it's more expensive property tax wise and stuff like that. Yeah. But then the school system is different and things like that.
But
people have all sorts of reasons.
The whole thing about Amazon looking for other headquarters, it was, you know, Amazon's not saying they're going to leave Seattle, but Seattle.
Right. It's a second headquarters.
But Seattle, the Seattle leadership are kind of freaking out because it feels like, you know, your girlfriend has been hinting about breaking up with you. Our good friend Jason Schmidt actually wrote a really good article that was posted to crosscut.com today about how the city council, or how, I don't think it's the city council. I think I'll have to reread the article. I didn't really know who this lady was, but she was like, Amazon does a great service for Seattle. And Jason's point was Amazon is actually contributing to, you know, the Seattle's growing income inequality and how normal working people can't live here anymore. And is that really doing something great for the city? So crosscut.com, check it out. Maybe I'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah. And I will say, I mean, we've documented it kind of here on the podcast, but the main reason that I moved back to Illinois was because it's so much more livable here as far as money wise goes.
Right. It's less expensive. I don't know what the median cost of a house is here, but I'm sure it's if it's not $1 million, it's close to it.
Yeah, yeah, and there was, I mean, and here's the thing, it was rough, but I saw a house that was $50,000 near where I live. Again,
over there in Illinois.
Yeah, rough house, not a great 50 grand. Not a great house to have.
Right.
But
a true fixer-upper is what they would say. A carpenter's dream.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
carpenter's dream.
When I worked at the auto dealership, that was one of the catchphrases that people taught you to look out for if you're looking for a used car. A mechanic's dream is a phrase to stay away from if somebody describes their car in such a way, because you will constantly be working on it.
Nice. All right, let's talk about corrections now. Corrections, ding. So, as we've established, my wife Jennifer Pratt sends corrections into the show about the previous show. It is a self-generating concept that we hit upon that I like a lot, because there's always new material, because we always get stuff wrong, because Ben and I never look things up when we're doing the show. And when I say never, I mean we say that we haven't, and we really try not to. And we've been doing pretty good as far as that goes, I think.
All right, so she sent corrections, and she says, Ben says he's never seen Seattle so sports ball crazy. And I think I was talking about in reference to the Seahawks, the current wave of the Seahawks. And then she sends me just a bunch of times that Seattle sports teams are have done well. And I'm going to hold my ground here. I'm going to say that so she says 1996 NBA playoffs, the Bulls versus the Sonics, Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Detlef Schrempf. Yeah, I was here in 96. I don't remember people being all Seahawks type 12th man crazy during that. She doesn't mention the 1995 Mariners. Now, I'll kind of give the 95 Mariners a pass and say that the town was rallying behind that team. We even, up until a couple months ago, we even had a bar here in Capitol Hill called 95 Slide, which was, they named an entire bar after a single play from the 1995 championship series when Edgar Martinez hit a double and scored Joey Cora and Ken Griffey Jr. to beat the New York Yankees to go to the divisional playoffs.
I am so impressed at how sports our podcast got there for a second. That was some sports right there. And let me say, if you're going to start a sports bar, naming it 95 Slide is great. That is what you should do, because it lets people know, hey, guess what? I know something about sports.
So she also goes on to say, 2001 Mariners win the AL West Championship. Ichiro, Edgar, Kazuhiro Sasaki, relief pitcher, his sinker was unreal. I was actually at win 116, which is no Major League Baseball team has yet to beat that record.
Wow. And I that's
was
crazy.
I was well, at
and
that
the
game.
Record was 116
wins? Yeah.
Okay.
So she says, 3 years after they had lost Ken Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson, A-Rod, and she says Jay Moyer. His name was actually Jamie Moyer. Sorry, Jennifer.
Wait, did you just correct a correction?
I did. They created a deep team. It had a crazy season. She says 1998 was huge. I think she means 1995 was huge. But 2001 was magical. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jennifer, I'm taking issue with your corrections here. The King Dome, or the King County Multipurpose Domed Stadium, that was the actual name, that's true, was imploded on March 26, 2000. That's also true. I slept through it.
This is true. This was a first. I watched the King Dome implosion online. People were posting, I think it was... It may have been video. It might have been just a bunch of still pictures, one kind of right at like a webcam that was updating quickly.
Yeah, it's like
but I remember
it's like
it
how
was
you
kind of new,
like how you watch the Mount St. Helens eruption. It's kind of like one picture after another because there wasn't video. It was just a dude shooting pictures.
It was being filmed, but I think it was I think it was video, but the one thing I do remember is that the very first video online that I saw, the very first online streaming video, was Anna Voog being interviewed by Sinbad.
Really?
Yeah. Streaming, the streaming video, it wasn't live necessarily, but it was a streaming clip. And I remember it because I was like, I'm watching this on the computer. And it's about a lady who streams her life on the computer. Do you remember her, Anna Voog?
I do not, no.
Yeah, she was one of the first, and I don't even remember what they call them anymore.
Live what streamers? They called them.
Well, sort of. She had a camera in her house, and you know, it would just be.
Did she
on
do
all
naughty
the time.
Things? Was it that kind of show?
Apparently, this is what I remember. She did a naughty thing on accident. That was the idea, that the camera was on and she forgot. Now, whether or not that is true, I don't know. But she had a gentleman caller over, and there was, but I don't remember anything about that. It was after the fact, although on the internet, everything lives forever. Probably it's somewhere.
Yeah.
But that's what I remember. But the big thing was she was a musician, artist, person who did like streaming her life kind of thing before a lot of other people did.
Yeah, now everybody does it. And jeez. It's like
exactly,
everybody's got a
right?
podcast too.
It's
some people have multiple podcasts.
Where, exactly. They're crazy. When if somebody were to come to you, right? From the government and say, hey, I need you to record what you do all day and upload it to the site so I can see it. You'd go, no, get out of my life, government. Okay, well, what about if you pay someone to be able to do this all the time and keep it public? Sure, say many people. And they say, wait a second, I don't pay to do that. Oh, no, then, sir, what is your internet access thing for, if not paying to do Facebooky stuff? I know, paying to see TV and stuff like that also, but still, Ben, they don't have to do anything. We're subsidizing it. We're subsidizing our own
whatever
you call it, surveillance.
Yeah, it's like that adage from 1984, Big Brother's watching you. Well, Big Brother is not watching us. We are watching ourselves.
Well, and Big Brother's watching you.
Well, we are providing the means with which Big Brother is watching us.
Well, the means with which Big Brother could watch us if Big Brother wanted to. Because that is the one thing we have. There's no way to watch everyone all the time. You just don't have resources. And at these prices, you never will.
I think we've kind of gone off the rails here.
We're doing corrections.
Bring this
That's
back.
Right.
There's only one more correction. We were talking about the fantasy football mock draft ruiner.
Yeah.
And she says, Stefan Heck is the fantasy football mock draft ruiner. Basically, he takes a player who is not very good or has a lot of baggage and selects them as the first draft pick, whatever, right, wrong. Now he has seeded this player as the first draft pick, which completely messes up everyone else's lineup. And she swears a lot, so I'm trying to clean it up as I'm reading it. He has, just by doing this one thing, hijacked the entire draft. Boom. And then she says, I love that guy.
So can you, what she said, again, my sports, I have negative ability. Can you explain what she just said? Seeded the draft? What does that
I don't
mean
get
to
it.
Seed a draft with? Oh, okay.
I don't get it. I don't really pay attention. Even with actual sports that I pay attention to, I don't really pay attention to the draft at all.
But I'll tell you something. I feed off of some types of controversy, and this is one of them.
Yeah.
So even though this is important, even though I don't know what this guy is doing exactly and why he's making people mad. I love reading people getting mad at him.
Yeah, but I it's one of those things where I mean I at at the on one end, I appreciate that he has found a way to play the game to you know, in a subversive way. But mm-hmm. on the other hand, I have to look at
it. Oh, he's not playing. He's ruining it for the other people.
No, he's not playing. He's playing the game, right? He's gaming that system. So he's being subversive. Right. But on the other hand, I have to look at it from the point of view of the people who actually like doing fantasy football and doing these mock drafts. And I have to look at it from their point of view and say, why are you being a jerk? Let us enjoy this.
Yeah. And that's totally, that brings up, I mean, the point that I made last time, at one point in time, that would be punching up a little bit because sports is sports and, you know, haha, you guys and your sports. But now sports is actually, since nerds is cool, nerds have become cool. Sports now are kind of neutral in a way. You know what I mean? It's something to be interested in. It's not as full-on establishment as it used to be, I guess is what I would say.
There's also a lot more data analysis going on in sports and a lot more like nerd-friendly aspects to it. The whole 538 blog was started by Nate Silver, who, you know, he made his name for political guessing, he started actually analyzing data for sports and predicting outcomes of games.
What is that? What are those numbers? Do you know
what numbers?
In the blog title,
538.
The numbers stand.
Yeah,
for?
that's the total number of electoral votes.
Oh, okay. So it became he started. He didn't call it 538.
No. He didn't call it 538 when he was talking about sports. That's the name he came up with when he was doing his political predictions.
Yeah. It wasn't. What's little green footballs? Is that something?
I think that was somebody's blog.
Okay. Because, you know.
Although there was a casino game, a slot game called Little Green Martians, which was super fun if you ever went to the casinos.
Which I really haven't been to a casino. I've been to a dog track once when I was in the Air Force. Yeah, in Spokane, Washington, there was a greyhound track, a dog track. And everyone's like, we're going to the dog track. And I'm like, what? Why? And they took me along. And yeah, that was weird. Oh, and also when I was in the Air Force, I learned that I should never do pull tabs because I have a problem.
Do you get you would get addicted to them?
What? Right. It's the good money after bad thing, right? Of well, I'm surely going to win next. Nope.
Yeah.
I ended up stealing some bowling shoes because I thought that I had basically bought them.
I have a
with
problem.
As much money as I lost.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's
I don't know what happened to those bowling shoes.
I find myself getting into that mindset when I'm in a casino, because I haven't been to a casino for a long time. But my friends and I would go to, say, the Emerald Queen Casino or the Snoqualmie Casino, and every once in a while make a pilgrimage down to Vegas or Reno. And when you're sitting at a slot machine and you've lost, you know, it'll tease you. It'll give you every, you know, a percentage of wins where it'll think it's possible to win. But then it just slowly, slowly bleeds your money away. And you're like, I just need one big win and then I'll stop. I just got to make my money back and then I'll stop. And that will never happen.
It's a very psychological thing, gambling.
Yeah.
So here's something I'm wondering about. Yeah. E-Ray, have you talked to him recently?
I actually saw him on Friday. We went to go see...
Oh, man.
I saw him... Blair and I went to go see Starball at West of Leonard, and E-Ray was also there.
Oh, yeah! Starball! Yeah. Now, we could talk about that for just a second.
Yeah.
After I ask you this. So did you guys talk about him showing up on the show at all?
No, we didn't make any plans, but I think, as far as I know, he's still game.
Because now I have stuff that I can, like, talk to him about and things.
Right.
And it'll be great. You need to see it, maybe.
Twin Peaks?
Or else it's going to be really hard because there's some
spoiler stuff. I'll watch his episode, but I won't see any of the other rest of the show. I don't got that kind of time, man.
Yeah. I get you. Because, yeah, there's stuff I want to talk about, and that would be a good time for me to talk about it because I don't want to ruin it.
You know, me not seeing Twin Peaks at this point is kind of a point of pride.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. It's like me and It's a Wonderful Life, which we talked about earlier.
I was actually thinking about this. I'm a black coffee drinker. I don't drink it. I don't put cream or sugar in my coffee. And I actually take that as a point of pride. And when I go to coffee shops and I order black coffee and they're like, do you want room for cream? I'm like, no. And I feel like the baristas, you know, have respect for that. And that's just me. They obviously don't. They don't care. But I've never had cream or sugar in my coffee. And I'm not going to because I'm afraid that if I try cream and sugar in my coffee, I'm going to like it. And that's how I'm gonna have my coffee from now on. And I'm gonna lose that whole like I'm a black coffee drinker. So it's only black coffee for me. But anyway, let's talk about Starball.
Oh yeah. Really, really quick. The one thing I'll say is this: the scene that he was in that at the time I thought was pivotal to that scene.
Yeah.
Right. Well, now that it's over, right, and people are kind of thinking about it more because it really is like a puzzle.
Yeah, and box. It's like pivotal to the entire series is what I hear.
What's that?
His scene is sort of like a, forgive the phrase, a linchpin for the the plot.
Because at the first you're like, well, what's that supposed to be? And now you're like, huh, I wonder if that was supposed to be this. Was that this?
Yeah.
Was that, you know,
kind
of thing. So yeah, it was a really good scene for him to be in and I'm pretty happy.
Cool.
That he got a chance to do it. And of course, the great thing about it is anybody who's worked on the show, and I'm going to take this tactic when I talk to him. If you say, well, was it about this? The answer is a very simple, it could be, you know, because, and I love this about David Lynch. His idea is this: you've seen the movie. I made the movie. The movie is what I made. I made the lights and the sound. And if you want to translate that back into words, go for it. But the movie is what happened. And you saw it. I like that. It's a nice little thing he's got going on there.
Is the movie worth
Makes
watching?
It easy.
From your unbiased point of view?
Say it again. Is the what?
is the Twin Peaks movie worth watching from your unbiased point of view?
The Twin Peaks 18-hour movie that is sometimes called a television series?
No, the...
Or Fire Walk With
Me. Yeah, Fire Walk With Me.
Yeah, Fire Walk With Me is good, I think.
Is it canonical, or does it...
This is what I can say. I can say it is canonical, yes. I wasn't sure when you said movie, Ben. I'm sorry that I... It's Paul being a jerk to Ben. It happens all the time.
Yep.
No, it doesn't. I should be nice to you all the time, Ben, because you are such a wonderful person. I'm being sincere.
I cleaned your house out. I can put it back.
This is right. This is what I'm saying. You've done so much for me. Here's the thing. Jennifer did not like Twin Peaks the series. Jennifer likes Twin Peaks... Fire Walk With Me.
Yeah.
So right. Yeah, it's good.
Can you watch the movie without having watched the TV series?
I believe that you can. In fact, I'd like you to do it and tell me what happens.
Nah, not gonna do it.
Well, it looks like there is some xylophone practice going on.
It also sounds like that.
What's that?
It also sounds that way.
It mostly sounds that way.
It's actually...
It doesn't really look that way.
It's probably not as bad on your recorder. I think we've done this before where Betty has played the xylophone, and coming through your recorder, it doesn't sound that bad. But over the phone, it is piercing.
Yeah, it should be all right with this recorder, probably.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm a little bit distracted. So Starball.
Starball. AJ brought John Kaufman and Dan Dennis back to Seattle to remount Starball at West of Lennon in a cute little inflatable planetarium.
Now, how does that inflatable did you see Starball at the actual...
I did.
...planetarium?
Yeah.
I did, too. I don't think you and I were at the same episode, but we will know in just a second. And the reason I say episode, for those of you not in the know, it's audience interaction.
Yeah.
There's audience interaction in it.
Every show is different.
And the one I saw, Matt Smith was at.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, in fact, you know who I think was with me for that? I think it was my friend from San Francisco who was visiting.
Ah. I went on a very awkward date to the to Starball the first time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Who wait a second.
I'm not going to say who.
Yeah. That's why I said, wait a second. Yeah. I was like, wait a second. Why am I asking
but
this?
This was...
Hey, Ben, where was your awkward date?
How long ago was this? Yeah. This was 2002, maybe? 2003? Yeah. So quite a while ago.
So, yeah.
But
that would have been...
So I saw it again, and I wasn't on an awkward date this time, so it was nice to kind of clean that memory out of my mouth. But it's a planetarium show, and it's named after the giant analog lit star ball that lights up the walls of the planetarium.
That's right. Which is pretty great. Now in the inflatable tent, how many people could fit in it?
It wasn't a lot. I think they had a max of like 40.
That's still, you know, a fair number of people, I would say.
Yeah, no.
And was this in the middle of the space? How did they end up accomplishing it?
They took all the seats out. And so the West of Lennon, which is, you know, a black box theater, it's not that big. It's sizable, yeah. But it's not huge. They took all the seats and the risers out and put it up in the middle of the floor space. And so...
Did people have comfy things to sit on? Is there
it was like deck chairs, you know, so you sit but you lay back.
Okay,
you lay
cool,
way back.
Cool.
So you couldn't really see the sky that's like right above, like right behind your head too well.
Yeah.
But everything else was pretty good. And I didn't have anybody sitting in
awesome.
Front of me because we went to go see the 10:30 show and it was undersold. So there was only like 10 to 12 people at the viewing. At the clearing, they say, I saw the show.
Now, speaking of West of Lennon, we had talked about at one point in time, and I don't know if this ever got resolved, so if it had gotten resolved and I've forgotten, forgive me, that I may be in the Rocketman movie.
You are in the Rocketman movie, yeah.
Hey, yes. Awesome. And am I a background player as a Rocket Man at one point? And is there a little bit that I do?
I don't remember any bits that you do, but you do stand in the back while FDR is speaking.
Cool.
And you're with AJ, and you're with John DeShazo.
Oh, AJ and John DeShazo.
A couple other people.
You know, that's nice company to be in.
Hey,
I like both those
guys.
Yeah,
speaking of Rocket Man, this is a good time to bring this up because this episode will drop on Monday the... Oh, God, what'll it be? The 18th. Monday the 18th. And on Thursday the 28th, Rocket Man will be screening at Northwest Film Forum. So if you're listening to this, go see Rocket Man. The Rocket Man are going to be there, and they're going to guide you through the night.
Hey, man, the city of Seattle needs to revive the Municipal Rocketry Program, I think. Is that what it's called? Help me out here.
The Municipal Department of Rocketry.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And I apologize to the fine people at the
MDR?
Lowercase O-R. Yeah.
MDOR.
And wait a second. No, we won't. I'm gonna stay away. This is something I listen to Spontaneous Nation with Paul F. Tompkins a lot.
Yeah.
And something that he can do really, really well is if you say a phrase to him, he can make an acronym out of it. Like, he knows what the acronym of that thing is super fast. It's like a party trick almost.
Like, he can identify the first letters of each word, like, on the spot without having to think about it.
Yeah, like he'll say, an H-O-P-S-F-I-T. And see, I can't even do it with not knowing what the word is.
Yeah.
Ben, I'm having problems.
It's like doing math in your head. He's probably really good at just doing math as well.
Probably.
Maybe he's got one of them famously, photographic memories.
He has had some college. Were you at that?
Yeah, that's also that's in one of his stand-up CDs that I bought.
Yeah. And that's what I do. That's what I do like. A lot of comedians, right? If you see them and they do material off of their album.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I've already heard this or whatever. If he ever does material off of his album, it's not always. It's sometimes. Like, he has a way of doing it where it's like a sly wink to the audience and, hey, remember this thing?
Right.
And it's even funnier.
Here's a golden oldie.
He has so many things that he does. Everything he does, I like. I'm not a weirdo. Don't worry, Paul F. Tompkins. But still, I feel the world is a better place that he is alive and doing comedy while I am here.
And he is a voice on one of my favorite shows, BoJack Horseman.
Right. Mr. Peanut Butter.
I was, that reminds me of when we went to go see Paul F. Tompkins at the Rebar. And
yes.
I was not planning on buying any of his CDs or getting his autograph or anything. You wanted to stand in line and talk to him.
Yep.
And so we sat together. I don't really know how this happened, but you know, we were sitting together in the front row. And when the show ended, we both got up and you started heading towards where the line was going to be. And I'm like, and I just headed up the center aisle because my thinking was, I'll just meet him in the bar area when he's done and then we'll leave. So I go out to the, so you go like, you know, house right and you're like queuing up. I just walk up towards the bar and I stand by one of the booths just thinking I'm standing out of the way. And I'm looking over trying to find you from across the bar. And then I looked to my left, and suddenly I realized that I'm standing right next to the booth that Paul F. Tompkins has just sat down in, and I am now at the front of the line. And so I wasn't going to be like, oh, sorry, I didn't want to talk to you. So he's like, all right, who's first? So I'm like, I guess that's me. So I sat down, and luckily I had $20 in my pocket, so I bought both of his CDs, and he signed them. And we had a little chat. It was great. And then I went and stood next to you back in line. And like 30 minutes later, we got back up to him. So
famously, when I went to see him at McKendree College in Illinois, and it was very close after I moved here. And I was one of the things I was bummed out about was that I was never going to get to go to see like as much cool stuff because I didn't want to go to St. Louis to do it and all that. But he was at this college that was 30 minutes away from where I was living. And I'm like, what? That's crazy. So I went there, and when we were in line, oh, I've talked about this before, Betty got out of line, and rather than going and chasing after her, I thought that staying in line would be the thing to do.
How old was she at this time?
Let's see. She would have been, she's 11 now. So she would have been 8, I think 7 or 8, probably 8.
So was she of the age where you could tell her to come back and she would obey?
Well, yes, kind of. But the thing is, I didn't know that she was gone at first.
Ah.
Does that make sense? So I was
Father of the Year Award.
Because I was talking to my friend Stephen Herrick, And then I look and she's not there. And all of a sudden I hear all these people laughing. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Yep.
I come out and she's talking to him.
And I'm sure he's being a true gentleman.
He is being a true gentleman. More so than he needed to be. And there was an official person there that was like, hey, man, why are you doing this? Yeah. Get out. To me. And I was like, I can't. I'm sorry. Because I also had books. I just put them on this table. And then I got Betty and got out of there.
Yeah.
Somebody recorded the incident and played it.
Is it streaming on the internet?
No, it was on the internet. Wait, was it me who recorded it? Maybe. But no, there
somebody.
Was someone who
Might
took
have been me.
There,
who knows?
There was someone who took a lot of pictures of it who wasn't me. And Paul F. Tompkins posted one of them and said, this is Betty, and I'm glad that she finally got let out of the IKEA because she was wearing a coat that looked very much like the coat of the IKEA monkey. If you remember that incident, there was an IKEA monkey.
I don't remember the IKEA monkey. It was an incident and not like a mascot?
Yeah, no. There was a monkey that was in an IKEA, and they got the monkey out. And put it in a little coat.
Ah. So the monkey wasn't wearing the coat as it was running loose in an IKEA.
I don't think so. I think the coat was like a consolation prize for getting caught. Or maybe it's so that the monkey wouldn't get cold.
You're going back
to
the zoo.
Possible.
Here's a coat.
Yeah. Now, I will be calling for Betty in just a second. But her mom has told her that she has to finish doing her bells. That's what they call it. They don't call it the xylophone. They call it the bells.
Doing
by
her
the way.
Bells?
Yeah. And speaking of the bells, Richard Belzer! Still around? Still alive?
Still alive. I think he holds a distinction. He is the only actor who to play the same character. I mean, he's the actor who's played the same character in the most different TV shows.
Yes, I have heard that same thing.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you. I know that
Homicide: Life on the Street was when it started.
Homicide:
Detective Munch. Homicide: Life on the Street is where that detective originated, and then he was on like X-Files and
X-Files. I don't remember him on X-Files. Yeah. I never watched X-Files after David Duchovny left, but I know that he was on Arrested Development.
Maybe it was the Lone Gunman.
Oh, the Lone Gunman. I can saying. Believe that. I can see that.
Oh, and speaking of which, hey, Betty!
Is she done with her bells?
Oh, wait a second. She said, do you not... Betty, what's wrong? Betty, can you tell me what's going on?
Nothing, I'm fine!
You sound... might I say, just a little upset.
I'm fine.
Is she getting okay. Is she getting to that age where she no longer finds it fun to be on the podcast?
Betty, come here, please, closer to the microphone.
Okay.
Ben is asking if you're at that age that you no longer find it fun to be on the podcast.
No.
All right.
Okay, well, that's good.
It'll happen.
I'm not at that age. I'm still 11, Ben.
Well, talk to us when you're 15.
Talk to us when you're 15, Ben says.
Okay.
you can still talk to us now, though, too.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, I got a headphone splitter for my recorder, but I don't have it yet.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
No, don't open it, Betty. It won't work with this case. Because it needs more space.
The thing I've noticed about those headphone splitters is that it'll drop the volume of your headphones, obviously, because it's now using the same power to push sound
Betty,
to two different.
But we don't have two pairs of headphones, Betty. Headphones. Just don't do it.
No, but you
don't do
my
it.
Headphones.
Don't do it. Don't do it. It'll be. Oh man, as you were asking me before, she was at that age where I could tell her to come back and she'd listen to me. What do you think? Okay, have fun trying to open that package. Okay, Betty's going to be trying to open a package. I just forewarn you, when she comes in, she won't know that you're talking, so she might just run in and yell something.
Right, because, yeah.
How you'll be able to tell the difference, who knows? Hey, jokes. So, I wonder what she's...
Did she get a care package in the mail from Grandma?
No. It's a splitter. She wants to open the headphone splitter.
Oh, I see. Oh, speaking of
Betty, it looks like the podcast is over. We're at an hour now.
Speaking of Grandma, Paul, I trust Jennifer's family is okay down in Georgia.
Is that it?
Okay. We'll talk about that. Actually, I don't know. Let me go out. Betty, you can follow me if you want to. Let me go out and talk to Jennifer to see if she wants me to talk about this or not. Because, are you playing Octodad?
Yes.
Betty's playing Octodad. Oh, hey, here's a game that I like playing.
Hey,
Orcs Must Die. You make traps.
Hey, can you open this with your magic scissors?
We don't need her to open it. She wants me to open it, even though I've told her.
No, I'm going
to. So if you don't want to use your scissors for it, please don't.
Not using those.
So, Jennifer.
What?
Ben wanted to know about your family and how they're doing. In Georgia.
I asked if they were okay. I just asked if they were okay.
All right. He wants to know if they're okay.
They're doing all right.
They're doing all right.
All right.
So there you go.
Didn't need to be a thing.
Asked and answered.
Didn't need to be a thing.
Yeah.
The house seems to be in working order.
The house seems to be in working order.
All right.
And nobody died.
Well, there you go.
Yep. And... now you know the rest of the story. Betty, we're going. This is it. The podcast is ending.
Okay, fine. Goodbye.
Oh, wait, Betty.
Hi, Dad. You know what?
There is a question, though.
What? Never mind.
Are you or have you ever been a communist?
No.
Okay. And the reason, Betty, why did I ask that question? What did we get at the yard sale? Or, I mean, at the flea market?
Communism.
Yeah.
You got communism at a flea market? I hear it's going for cheap these days.
This is the thing. We're at the flea market. Betty finds a sickle.
Uh-oh.
And she's running around with it. She's not really running. She's walking around with it.
Right. Those are kind of dangerous.
And people
if you're
like, hey, kid, maybe not so much with that. And I'm like, I'm going to buy it. How much is it? It said $3. So I bought it. And so I'm carrying the sickle around now.
Yeah.
And then Betty has this mallet. And she's walking around with it. And they're like, hey, kid, you can't walk around with that mallet. I'm like, how much is that? They're like, $3.
So is she just taking stuff off of tables and walking around?
Sort of. It's similar to that.
Well, I can think of nothing more communist than that.
But here's the thing. Then she looks at me. She takes the mallet and she takes the sickle and she puts them on top of one another and says, "Look, Dad, we just bought communism."
And
I was it's like when the student has surpassed the master.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. That's great.
It was good.
All right.
We were made to be replaced, Ben. Oh, and one other thing.
Yeah.
And this is a little serious for a second.
Oh, God.
Yes, exactly. Religion, Ben.
Have I talked to you
everybody's
about our Lord and
got,
Savior?
Everybody's got their own books that they're interested in and books that somebody wrote or books the thing is and all that. And I started thinking about it. All these books, right, exist. Is there a level higher? Yes. The world, then. The world contains all of these books. And so I have this little mantra whenever I'm worried about what I believe, you know, what is science? What about this thing that this guy wrote? You know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
The world is the book. And by the world, it's more the universe, right? Everything is contained within the universe.
The universe contains all known knowledge. Is that what you're getting at?
Well, what I mean is that these things aren't separate. I mean, they are, right? But there is an extensive hole to them. An extensive hole. Speaking of extensive holes, no. So anyway, that's the world is the book is my new little mantra that I say to myself.
All right.
It's pretty cool. And I'm sorry to leave it on such a philosophical or perhaps downer note, but it's important, and I wanted to get that out
there. All right, well, maybe next week we'll talk about what that actually means on the Goody Lords podcast.
Maybe. Hey, Ben, also keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong, Paul.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Now, I am going to turn off this thing.